Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Badgerland Birding Podcast, bringing you birding news and stories from the Badger State and beyond. We're super excited, but also super tired because we just got back from the biggest week in American birding, which takes place around McGee Marsh in Ohio. And the interesting thing is, it's not even over. Like, it's still going on. We were only able to attend kind of the first part of it, but we've been kind of going nonstop. So, Ryan, what were your first thoughts about heading to the biggest week?
First of all, you sound exhausted. I look exhausted. I think we're both exhausted. We were on the go pretty much nonstop. There was an event so often to cover and to go to. And then when there was an event, there were so many different places to go birding. It was kind of like a massive birding village. Everywhere you went, even on the outskirts of where the festival was being held, there were people with cameras, people with binoculars. Everyone was birding all the time. It was just filled with birders. There's thousands and thousands of people that attend the event, and the energy in the air was something I've never experienced before from a birding capacity.
Yeah, I feel like when we were kind of immersed in it, because everywhere you turn, there would be someone to talk to, be like, "Hey, what'd you see?" You know, and you knew they were all pretty much birders, because even non-birding people know that it's kind of a birding event. So like, they'll go up there just to learn, basically. And so you could kind of turn to anyone and be like, "Oh, what'd you see today?" Or like, "What are you looking for?" And everywhere you went, someone was looking or talking about birds. And now that we're kind of out of it, I really do miss it that I can't just kind of turn to my left or right, see someone, and be like, "Oh, did you see the cool Prothonotary warbler at the boardwalk today?" Stuff like that. So I feel like the atmosphere and the people there really made it special.
Maybe you should try to do that. Just wherever you are, just be like, hey, what have you seen out there today? And see what responses you get.
Yeah, probably a lot of non-bird related responses, but I think we'll give it a shot one of these days.
There were so many cool people there that I would consider celebrities in the birding community. I mean, one that comes to mind right away is Greg Miller, the
A
guy
hundred
that Jack
percent.
Black's character is based off of in The Big Year. And we saw him and we were like, whoa, I think that's Greg Miller. And then we ended up talking to him for a long time. And he even played a trivia game with us that we were kind of hosting. And I think he said he'd come on the podcast. So maybe Greg Miller will be on the podcast at some point in time. But obviously, Ken Kaufman, you know, from Kaufman Field Guides, a legendary guy in the birding community, was there, you know, as a host pretty much at the festival. And Kim, his wife, was a obviously massive player in the event. So there were just so many interesting people there to communicate with and to learn from and to talk to.
Yeah, a couple more that I'm thinking of, but I don't want to spoil kind of the reveal when we release the videos at some point. But a lot of cool people to meet. So yeah, some of those like birding celebrities. I remember there was a time where we were kind of in the marketplace where all the people can just kind of hang out, and you were mentioning how cool it was to be like, "Oh yeah, Greg Miller's chilling over there. Like Ken is doing this, signing books over there." You had all these kind of people just in one place. It was a neat experience to do that, and that to then be able to go out to a lot of cool different birding locations. One thing that surprised me is it was not just warbler centered. Like there was a lot of great marsh habitat, shorebirds, blacknecked stilts. So there's way more to do than just look at warblers.
I feel like the marshes, there were so many marshes. You know, there's Howard Marsh down there, Metzger Marsh down there, Mallard Club Marsh, just all sorts of marsh habitat there. And we both noticed that in that part of Ohio, it has a very serene country vibe to it, which I wasn't expecting because it's not like it's very far south. It's just south of Lake Erie. So it's not that far south from where we are even, but it had this rural, peaceful energy.
Yeah, I kind of described it as like the white picket fence, you know, apple pie. Everybody knew what their neighbor is doing kind of vibe. And it felt very friendly and very accepting overall. So it was really chill to just drive around. We stopped at a coffee shop, and actually the guy that owned it, he like took us in the back to show how they roasted the coffee beans, which I feel like that's not an experience you're gonna get everywhere. So just kind of people being friendly and nice, and really welcoming to birders too. There were a lot of places that had welcome birder signs. And we were saying how, you know, a lot of those places there just very welcoming, but also you could tell that businesses kind of understood that this actually brings in a lot of revenue to the area. They're like, "Oh, well, of course we want to welcome birders to get as many people into our store as possible." So it's a good mix of being friendly, but also people understanding kind of that this is actually bringing in a lot of tourism. Like we went to that place called, I think it's Blackberry Corners. I don't remember if it's Corners or Corner, but
Has Blackberry in it.
Yeah, it has blackberry in it, but the lady who was working there said this is their, like, she's working open to close like every day because it's one of their biggest times of the year.
Yeah, and you could see the amount that the ecotourism mattered to the businesses there. Because, like you said, every business had a welcome burger sign. The hotels had welcome burger signs. The places to eat had welcome burger signs. And it's really an entire experience. You know, if you go down there and you were to just stay in one place, like even if it's a legendary place such as the Boardwalk, if you stayed there the entire time, you're not getting the full experience of the festival. Because the festival is going to Blackberry Corners. It's
Blackberry
going,
Corner is
is it
official, what
Corner?
Google
Okay,
just told
Blackberry
me.
Corner.
Yeah.
That's part of the festival. Going to the Burger Marketplace is part of the festival. Going to see the speakers is part of the festival. You know, interacting with different people, it's all part of the festival. It's not just one place. It's not just the birds. It's not just the people. It's the whole thing packaged together, creates this crazy. You know, it's more than a week, technically. It's called Biggest Week, but it's really a week and 2 weekends. But this crazy experience for people that go there.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is it's so long. Like we left probably, more or less in the middle, but I would see people post like, "Oh, I'm on my way to Biggest Week." Like they're coming for the second half of it. So you can experience totally different parts of it just by going at different times. But I feel like another thing that's cool about it is you can kind of dip your toes into it as much as possible. Like if you want to show up and check out the boardwalk, you could do that, and that's your involvement in Biggest Week. If you want to do everything kind of like we did, you can dive full in and do that. But it's just a really good community feeling. And also we learned about the lifer pie that apparently originated at Biggest Week. So if you see a lifer, a bird you're seeing for the first time in your life, you can go to Blackberry Corner and get some of their homemade pie, and it's they deem it lifer pie. The rules are, it can, if you didn't see a lifer, maybe you still get some lifer pie anyways.
We
We've
were
been
like,
told
if
that
it's a
it sells
lifer for
out
the state, if it's a lifer for the
for the
month, you
day.
know, for
The
the
rules are
day.
pretty, pretty loose there.
We're fast and loose with the pie rules.
But yeah, we learned that that's the tradition that kind of started there. 'Cause like you hear people talk about it and I'm like, oh, you kind of wonder where that came from. Seems like it originated at Biggest Week. Really, tightly run festival. Like our friend Tyler was had a big role in planning everything. He was doing a great job. But everyone was just super friendly and welcoming, and I feel like everyone was just having a great time.
So many bird guides from every notable company too, and the guides that were helping at the festival, a lot of them are really accomplished, really good bird guides, and really fun people to be around too. And it was just so funny to see them all interacting with each other. They give all the guides these, they call them golden. They're kind of like a mustard yellow, I would say, hat. And one of the kids referred to them as the gold caps, which was pretty funny. There were a lot of funny moments with the guides and some of the participants. I don't know how much we want to give away. We have so much to
Yeah,
show.
I don't want to say too much because I'm excited for kind of the videos and all that. But we did just end up doing so much, and also like it was cool seeing all the optics people too that we hadn't seen in a while because they kind of go to all the festivals. This is my third birding festival. This is your was your first official
This is
bird
the first
festival.
one, yeah.
But I think Ken said it really well. He was like, once people go to it once, they tend to just keep coming back to it. And I can see how that would be the case. Like, you might think, oh, it's not really your thing, but then you go to it. Like, I already miss the community. Like I told you, I'm like, it kind of makes me sad. I'm going to wake up and not see like several hundred birders that I can talk to about warblers and other random stuff. So I'm
Does it
kind
make you
of.
realize how little the community around here actually is?
Somewhat, but I mean, it is a festival, so you're getting those people congregated. But I feel like I'm already looking forward to next year almost, where I'm like, oh, I can't wait to go back and do it all again.
And I would say that's a mighty fine sweatshirt you have.
Yeah, we got a ton of gear while we were there. So there's a black-throated blue warbler. It's stitched. It says McGee Marsh on it. So a lot of cool stuff. We got some free stuff, other stuff we bought like the sweatshirt, and a lot of cool swag. Black Swamp Bird Observatory does a lot of work, with the festival and making everything happen too. There's just so many players. You can never actually like, I feel like you can never, designate everyone who's involved, but just a lot of different people make it happen. I do want to touch a little bit on the boardwalk at McGee Marsh because,
Wild place.
yeah, that's kind of probably the most well-known place. But it's just this large boardwalk that spans kind of parallel to Lake Erie. It's a little bit in the forest, and there's two ends to it. And so the first day we were there, it wasn't that crowded. I think we thought, at least for me, I thought it was crowded that first day.
There was a smattering of people there.
Yeah, there was, some people every once in a while you'd run into. And then when we got later into the week, it was totally crowded. Like it was almost traffic jam level. And then you'd be walking and then you'd be like, oh, what's everybody looking at? And then you'd see it. And then other people would get kind of cemented there and it would cause like a traffic jam. I feel like people kind of got better as the week went on of kind of going to the sides when they were going to look at something. But it is a little overwhelming seeing all those people in that one spot.
It was a different style of birding too, because the strategy was more see where the people are. Because you'd be walking the boardwalk, there would be a stretch where there's no people. All of a sudden, you would just see 20 people with their lenses out, and something is over there. And at the start of the week, it was usually something like a Prothonotary warbler or a really close up warbling vireo or a Perula that was low. And then it felt as though later in the week, it was anything. It was, oh, it's a ruby-crowned kinglet. Oh, it's a gray-cheeked thrush. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. There were a couple cool raptors that were along the boardwalk, though, that were big draws for attention, too. But it was funny because you would just be on the boardwalk, you'd see the group of people, and you'd say, okay, there's going to be something coming up for us to take a look at. So let's get ready to see what species of bird this is. And should I say how many species we ended up with in our week, or do you want me to save
Nah,
that?
I wouldn't say it.
Save it. Save everything.
Save
We
it.
have
Save it.
hours and hours and hours and hours of videos of the festival, of birds, of birding different places. So there's going to be a steady stream of different things coming out of the channel about this experience we had.
I will say my favorite is when you would see a group of people on the boardwalk and you'd walk up to them and be like, "Hey, what are you looking at?" And they'd go, "I don't know." Like they just saw other people gathered, so they just decided to look. And they were kind of like, yeah, I don't know what it is. And so you'd kind of have to, ask a couple other people what they were looking at.
Yeah,
But
I will say we got the full festival experience. We arrived when the first vans departed for the field trips on the first day that the festival was going on. We got the welcome ceremony. And then yesterday there was a banquet with the keynote speaker, which was Amy Tan, who wrote the book, The Backyard Bird Chronicles, which is now, I think, as of right now, number one on the New York bestsellers list, if I'm not mistaken. That was what we were told
I
yesterday. I
know it
see you
was.
looking
Yeah,
it up.
let's check it out.
Hopefully it's still there. But we were at the festival from what felt to us like the beginning to the end. And then yesterday we had this moment where the sun was setting over Lake Erie. And well, it wasn't setting over Lake Erie technically, but you could see the colors in the sky over Lake Erie. And everybody had left the place where everybody had gathered for the keynote speaker. And it was just this weird ending to the week for us where everybody had departed and it was this peaceful, no wind night with all these colors in the air. And then you could hear herring gulls screaming over the lake. So it was a peaceful way to end it, but a really surreal, weird feeling to be leaving.
Yeah, I can't tell if it's still, but it was at, if it's not now, it was a New York Times bestseller, The Backyard Bird Chronicles, which I got a copy, so I'm excited to read it. We were talking about possibly doing some book reviews on the channel, which I think would be
You got a
fun.
lot of books.
We got a lot of books to read. But one thing I want to touch back on the boardwalk because I felt like the boardwalk was so interesting because you would lose information kind of as you went. Because you would have these interesting things people would see. And then once those people left, if no one was there to learn what was there, you kind of lost that information. Like someone had to stumble upon whatever bird was seen or, maybe reptile or something. So you almost had these stewards of the different spots of the boardwalk to point things out to people. Be
And
like, we'll
sometimes it
take,
was you.
sometimes it was us, and we'll take the, there were a couple bald eagle nests. So, they're pretty obvious to see. But at certain areas, people just be like, oh, yeah, the bald eagles are up there. And people are like, oh, thanks. But then if all those people left, then it would take someone kind of looking on their own to find it. Otherwise, that information, would just kind of dissipate. So it's interesting, kind of, it's like a big game of telephone almost. And I feel like it would kind of get lost in translation because I remember a couple times it would be, oh, we're looking at a summer tanager. And you would look and it would have dark wings. You'd be like, no, that's the scarlet tanager. And the information would kind of get warped and changed as it like funneled through the boardwalk. Or you would hear just There was that rumor that by the optics tent there was a cerulean warbler that like they didn't tell anyone about, and then we asked all the optics people like, no, there was no cerulean warbler here. So it's interesting how the rumor mill is going on, and you kind of
Yeah.
had to figure out what was real and what wasn't.
Yeah, we did, to my knowledge, find an actual rare bird for the festival too.
Not according to eBird, but I think it would seem to be a pretty big find. I thought it was rare.
It wasn't flagged for some reason. I talked to the reviewer and she said it should be flagged. So she said, I'll have to take a
Reviewer
look at that.
confirmation there. So,
Yeah, so we'll see. But we found a cool bird for the festival that no, I don't think anyone had found previously, but I'm not entirely sure. It's tough because there's so many people. So sometimes information would come out late and it would be like, oh, a yellow-throated warbler has been singing for the whole festival at this place. And it would be like, how come we haven't heard about that yet?
yeah, they have a Twitter that they post stuff on. So it's kind of like if it's rare and people find it, you expect it to be on the Twitter at some point. And if it's not, it's kind of like, why hasn't it been on the Twitter? But overall, it was just a really cool event. Like Ryan said, we don't want to say too much because we are going to have the videos that are coming out. So definitely look forward to that. But we're still kind of buzzing off that energy of Biggest Week, but definitely also ready to take a little time of not going kind of 24/7.
I think it's kind of like when you take an energy drink, is that you get really hyped up for a little while and then there's that crash at the end. And I feel like we're crashing right now. It's late at night. We literally drove back today to Wisconsin and now it's late. But so many interesting people. I was gonna say strange and wonderful people, but very interesting people at the festival.
I wouldn't say strange. It's very much
Strange and wonderful. Like the creatures of the sea.
interesting. I would just say people tied by the same thread almost. You know, everyone there loved birds. You didn't meet anyone who's like, man, I hate birds. Like, I
Well,
came to
there
this
was
bird festival.
maybe one guy,
Which guy?
a certain optics guy that we know quite well.
Oh, no, it definitely does not hate birds.
You know
But you
who
know,
hates birds?
who?
Solomon David.
Tom and David claims to hate birds, but actually he loves birds.
You know,
He's
Solomon got a lot of shout outs actually at the festival. We ran into a lot of people that knew Solomon.
he did, yeah. So, for those of you that don't know, Solomon David was my advisor for my master's program. I got my master's in marine biology, and he says he hates birds, but we all know that he really actually loves birds. We actually have a video birding with him. It's called Birding with a Scientist Who Hates Birds. So if you haven't seen that, definitely make sure to check that out.
But Solomon, if you're listening to this, people at the birding festival mentioned you. So that means you are in the birding sphere now. So
That
that's
is
tough
true.
for you, buddy. You're not going to get away from that one. You're a bird guy now.
I don't think any other fish scientists got a shout out. So I mean that
No.
does say something about his reputation.
Just him, at least twice.
Yeah, well, I think that'll kind of wrap it up for kind of this like little taste of the videos that are coming for Biggest Week. Did you have anything else you wanted to mention about kind of the festival as a whole?
I'm just excited to be able to put it all into a package that people can view so that everybody can see what it was like to be in Biggest Week, see some of the spots. I think that a lot of the stuff we put out there can help anybody that wants to go to it, see what it's like and see what are the go-to places to visit and just help you plan if you want to go there. I don't think there's a whole lot of stuff on the internet, in terms of YouTube stuff that really talked about where to go, what to do, what the best things are at the festival. So I think this will be helpful, hopefully.
Yeah, I think we did a good job scouting the key places. We definitely have the food locations scouted out, I
Oh yes,
think.
absolutely.
As
We
far
have
as the
some
main
food
ones
reviews.
that you have to go to. There's also maybe, a couple new ones that have been added if you haven't been there in a while, but I think we can put together something pretty comprehensive for those of you that don't really know a lot about Biggest Week and want to go in the future.
We even have a Toledo pizza review in there.
Oh yeah, for sure. So that's going to be it for us for now, but stay tuned for more updates on our trip to the Biggest Week, and make sure to follow. You can check out the Twitter to see what's being reported as well, or of course you can look on eBird. So hope this gets you excited about what's to come, and thanks for watching this episode of the Badgerland Birding Podcast.